Let's lift every hand and every voice. God is good. Yes, yes. Oh, somebody lift up a voice. Just begin to praise Him. God is good. Yes. Oh, I'm so glad His love endures forever. Somebody feel like shouting from a mountaintop. Our world is confused and it's in trouble and it's dying and it doesn't have answers and it's insane because it keeps doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But the truth of God is the key that unlocks their prison house, and God is able to answer their questions and meet their needs. And all He needs is a church that'll make their way up to the mountaintop of God and shout, there is a God in the heaven that has the answer for a generation that's dying. My God, He's good. Somebody shout. Hey. The Lord is good. My God, appreciate the choir and the praise group and all the prayer and the wonderful things in the house tonight. And I'm so glad to have a preacher in the house. Brother and Sister Galindo, we're glad you're here. Or Galeando or whoever you are. No, we know your name. So we appreciate so much the word this morning. What a wonderful word in the house this morning. I appreciate that so very much. And I want you to come tonight and just take your liberty. And we're so glad that you brought your wife with you, Sister Galindo. We're glad that you're here tonight. We appreciate you. And you take your liberty. Somebody say, preach to me, preacher. All right. God bless you. We love you. We're glad you're
here. Amen. Well, it is good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I come to you tonight certain of what the Lord wants to speak, certain of how I want to, what I'm looking for, what the Lord's looking for at the end. But I'm not convinced as to the methodology of how we get there. We are living, as was mentioned by Pastor Sutton, in trying times. And there is a challenge in the spirit. I felt it when I landed yesterday. I feel a push, an impulse. It's almost as if it's a burst of air in my spirit. And I felt it so strongly this afternoon in my hotel. I tried to take a nap. I tossed, I turned. I flipped through 7 or 8 messages. And I finally returned back to the one the Lord spoke to me about a few days ago. I want to speak what the word of the Lord, or what the Lord would have me to speak. And in the morning, I'll get on a flight and I'll head back to the land of my calling. But I don't want to leave anything, or I don't want to take anything with me. I want to do the mind and the will of God. Now, if we'll go to the Bible, Luke chapter 7, I want to give honor to your pastor. He has been such a blessing to the Galindos. His ministry, his kindness. You meet people in life, and there are some people you just click with. Philosophically, socially. But when you click with people spiritually, you cherish that. And I don't know that Elder Sutton feels the way I do, but I can tell you from this direction, there is a high level of respect and honor for this man of God. And what you did tonight, honoring him, is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. After giving 30 years to Birmingham, 30, God is taking this church to another level under the leadership of Brother Sutton. And so I, tonight, come to you in the fear of the Lord, and I feel something in my spirit deeply, deeply. I want us to go to Luke chapter 7. And the Bible says, verse 11, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Basically, she had just been left alone. Her husband was gone. And her son, her only son, was dead. And much people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. How can you tell a woman who has just lost her son not to weep? He, by chance, may have been her only support financially. Obviously, emotionally, familially, he was their only support. And Jesus looks at her, he says, weep not. God will ask things of us that just don't make sense sometimes. But when the master asks, he asks with the answer in mind. He said, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier. They that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God had visited his people. And his rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea and throughout all the region round about. I don't really have a title for this message, but I do want us to pray. I want the word of the Lord to get into every one of us. And I'm speaking to the church today. I know who I am. I know where I'm at. I understand my role tonight, but I feel like the Lord has brought this confluence of time because this church is at a special place. I don't think it's accident that I'm here this Sunday night before you head into a new facility. And I want us to pray. I want God to touch us. I want God to help us. I want God to help us to be the tip of the spear. We are the tip of the spear. We're moving into darkness, and everywhere we move as a church, light is penetrating darkness. I want us to pray together right now. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, now, come on, I want us to pray. Come on. Come on, we're going to do some spiritual work tonight. We're going to do some spiritual work tonight. This is not a typical, I'm not here to entertain. I want us to do some things. I want to do some work in the spirit. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, of Jesus. Come on, for just a moment. Come on, just for the moment. We've worshiped. Come on, for just a moment. I want to transfer this thing into your spirit. God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, God bless you tonight. You may be seated. The Holy Ghost is the most modern, the most advanced, the most up-to-date thing in the universe. Apple computer is looking forward. The Holy Ghost is looking backwards. Samsung and Apple, Google and everybody else are trying to outdo territory that the Holy Ghost is already in. If you'll study the scripture, the prophets saw things today, thousands of years ago. We can't see tomorrow. The prophets saw the book of Acts. They didn't understand it. They saw today. They saw perilous times. We see today. We see things unfolding. John saw it unfolded. The church, the Holy Ghost, is the most powerful thing in the universe. I wonder sometimes how much we understand that. Because I believe if we understood that, Elder, I believe if we grasp the power of Christ in us, if we understood the immensity of the responsibility, and I'm not saying we don't. If you do, I'm here to refresh your memory. To confirm, there is an understanding in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. There isn't a nuclear bomb that can touch the Holy Ghost. There isn't a building constructed in the intellect of man that can touch what the Holy Ghost can do. The Bible lets us know that it is power. It is the ability to transform wherever it touches, wherever it exists, wherever it is in that moment, welcomed. That's why our church services are so very important. It is the combination and the culmination of everything God has ordained to take place. That's why people can leave here healed. That's why people can leave here changed. That's why people can leave here and chains are broken. That's why people can leave here and say, I don't know what's going on there, but they got something going on there. Friend, there's something in the Holy Ghost. It is the most up-to-date thing. And it is not the responsibility of God to try to drag us along. It is the responsibility of the church to keep up with God. It was the prophet in the Old Testament said, if you can't keep up with the footmen, how will you keep up when the horses come? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is always advancing in this earth. Pardon my thought, went to Spanish. It is always advancing in this earth. The Holy Ghost is always pushing back darkness. The Holy Ghost is always trying to seek a way to fulfill its purpose in this earth. And God manages his will on the earth through his bride. The church. God manages. We are plan A, B, C, D, E through Z, friend. There is no plan extra. This is it. God has ordained you. God has ordained me. God has ordained this man to make a difference in this city. There is no other plan. I will tell you this. I will say this, God is able to raise up. God is able to call people with hungry hearts without the church. I attend Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, and in my last class, the foremost Pentecostal theologian in the world, when they ask people to write about tongue talkers, they ask this guy to be an apologist, to write papers, to explain. And he sat in that last day with district officials from the Assemblies of God, and he said to us that day, he said, I'm here to tell you now, friends, the early church did not baptize in a triune formula. He made it very clear. He said the early church baptized in Jesus' name. He said there is no other record of any other way. Friend, we're on to something. Hey, when we take them down in the name of Jesus, it isn't our idea. It isn't our philosophy. It's not the way we see things. It's what the book says. They are making it obligatory for every one of their preachers to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. I'm just telling you, God can raise up, but he prefers to work through his church. God is forward moving. He's never standing still. God is a deep God. Everything we know about God is written in book, bound in leather. But I can tell you this much. When you get to heaven, you're going to find out there was more of God than there was in that book. That book is just what he wants us to know. It is the boundaries through which humanity will know God. But there are things in God and there are places in God that when we get to heaven, there'll be answers that we knew nothing about. It'll blow our mind when we recognize the glory and the majesty of God. When we stand before him and we see everything rolled back and our eyes can see the greatness of God. I am convinced that's the 30 minutes of silence. We will sit there and no one will be able to speak. Amen. The Bible speaks that the deep calleth to the deep. Price has been paid to facilitate the will of God in this earth. I spoke a little bit about it this morning. Mary, can you imagine the price she paid? The prophets to fulfill the will of God in this earth. There was a great price. A man had to come to Birmingham 30 years ago. Nobody elder will know the price you paid because we just don't talk about it. We figure God understands that, but there was a price paid here. There was something, a giving of oneself to something. Now stay with me. I'm going somewhere. God is always challenging us. And I, in the Spirit, feel a challenge in the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel that impulse, that pushing, because your pastor said it. You're going into a crazy season. You're going into a season where you're going to go into a building that's nice and comfortably full, but right now, but in a few weeks, you're going to go walk into a building next week where there's a lot of room. There's a lot of room and there's a lot of empty seats, and God doesn't intend for them to stay empty forever. God has intention that every one of those seats be full. God has intention for every color, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight. He has an intention to... You're stepping into something. And I'm telling you, in the Spirit, you're stepping into something. There is an awareness by God, and there is an awareness by the enemy of our souls of what's about to happen. There is an awareness, friend. And we as a church need to be ever aware of it. What you've done has gotten you to this point. But when you can scream across the sanctuary to a person and they don't hear you, because the sanctuary's big, there's an awareness that the devil knows your desires to see it filled, and he's going to do everything to stop you from that happening. And so I come to you tonight excited for you. Just absolutely, I got to see the facility. For some of you, I got to see it before you. I was rejoicing. I got to dream with your pastor for just a little while. This is where we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And in my mind, I could see just things unraveling. It's exciting. It's exciting. But after the feeling goes, the work begins. Kudzu for miles. I've had kudzu on our church property. I've been killing it for 6 years. We take everything, gasoline, burn the stuff down, cut it down, pesticide it, murder it, do whatever we have to do. And it comes back. Y'all got some kudzu to cut down. Now ain't time to get delicate hands, friend. Oh, come on now, don't sit on me. Now ain't time to say, well, I'm busy. Now ain't time. Don't you sit on me. Now ain't time to say, Pastor, I'm too busy. Next week we're going to shout around the sanctuary and everybody's going to be excited. But Monday morning, they're going to need people out there with rakes. Monday morning, they're going to need people. Is this thing on? Because I'm about to go Galindo on you. Sit down, please. I got a lot to say. And I told my wife I wasn't going to be long. She said, babe, you were 45 minutes. And that was her way of saying, babe, you went long this morning. So I told her I wouldn't be quite as long. So I'm starting right now. God has brought the church of Birmingham New Life for such a moment as this. He didn't bless you with an amazing facility so that you could do a war dance every single service and it be the same old faces. You know, I'm going to take this tie off. I'm going to get myself real comfortable. You know, I have two types of ministry. Real soft and real hard. This morning I was real soft. But I got the baseball bat out. Bring it. Because I'm telling you, you guys are standing on something absolutely amazing. I'm not being exaggerative when I tell you I feel something in my spirit. It's exciting. It wells up. When he was just walking around showing me this, something inside of me said, oh, yeah. And as he began to talk, the Holy Ghost began to confirm tonight. God is challenging everything. Everything you know tonight, because there's a work. Jesus broke molds everywhere he went. Jesus was the epitome of mold breakers. Jesus was a radical of his day. They recognized it. That's why they tried to kill him. He did, by the way, he wasn't killed. He gave his life. They never were able to kill him. He laid down his life. Don't everybody let anybody ever say somebody killed Jesus. No. Jesus laid there. He was God in flesh. He could have done whatever he wanted, whatever he wanted. He had the power to call down angels and make that place a parking lot. But he said, no, I will. For them, I will. And so, he was a mold breaker. You look through scripture. Everything God asks of his people breaks molds. Everything. They get to a certain place, and then he demands more. That's the God you serve. Nahum, you want to be healed of leprosy? He said, I'll bring gifts. I'll do all the good stuff. He said, no. Go down and wash in the muddy Jordan. But I got money. That don't mean nothing to God. I got, well, and I'm not saying don't pay tithes and offering. Don't even go there. Don't even try to read into it and say, well, Brother Galindo, Pastor Sutton, Brother Galindo said, don't twist my words. Before you go supporting everything else, you need to support your church. You need to support your church. Thank you to the five of you that believe that. I'm telling the rest of you, you better support your church. You better give to the kingdom of God. I just keep going. Yes. I'm telling you. And so Jesus, Nahum, go get to the water. No. I'll do it my way. Let me tell you something. God has a way, and it will always require. It will always require everything uncomfortable. It will require a move of uncomfortableness. It will require you to be stretched and to be extended. It will require of the church an extending of self, a moving out from yourself. Everything you've done to this point is great and glorious, and the Lord rejoices, and I rejoice. But I'm telling you, I've been in that building. There's a lot of hallways. There's a lot of doorways. There's a lot of sanctuary to fill. There's a lot of Sunday school rooms to fill. There's a lot of youth center to fill. There's a lot of Spanish area to fill. There's a lot to move in. Come on, friend. God didn't give us a building so we could. Jesus was a breaker of molds. He healed on the Sabbath. And they questioned him. His disciples picked corn on the Sabbath, and they questioned him. He forgave sins when they said, who can forgive sins but God?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Today, they still can't get it. They're trying to fit 3 into 1 and 14 into 7, and that ain't math. It's 1 into 1, and he's still the one. Hey, friend, and they said, only God can forgive sins, and it was just as obvious. I'm sure he sat there going, yeah, what aren't you getting here? The Bible speaks and lets us know that wherever Jesus went, he was always breaking molds. Amen. New life, God is about to break a mold. God is about to break something in. And it all begins with that tension, that heavenly alignment. Some years ago, I was listening to an interview. I don't know if you guys have heard of the Flying Walindas. Nick Walinda and them, trapeze artists in the early 60s and 70s. And Nick Walinda was about to walk across the Niagara Falls. He has since then walked the Grand Canyon and between Chicago Towers and the Eye of Orlando. So this was several years ago. He said this, "In facing the Niagara Falls, I face the wind and the mist and the dark." He said, "I face all of these things, but I'm going to stay focused on the goal." He said, "I've trained all my life not to be distracted by distractions. I've trained all my life," because when you're on that line, when you're on that wire, there is no room for error. It's about, he said, carrying on the legacy and doing something I love and have a passion for. Now, this was a man that got out on a wire that I wouldn't even chain my dog up to. And this was his passion. He said, "Fear is a choice. You can either allow thoughts of fear to debilitate you in any walk of life, no matter what you're doing, or you can filter those things out." He said, "I try to stay focused on the other end of the cable where I'm going. I'll look a little bit, but usually it's usually 1 foot in front of the other." Amen. They asked him, "How do you handle the inevitable missteps that come along with it?" Willinda said, "For the most part, there are none." He said, "I know where I'm going, and I know how to get there." Amen. They asked him, what is your philosophy?" He said, "The wire is life. Everything else is boring. Everything else." Jesus said that hundreds of years ago when he said in Matthew 6, "But seek ye first." Amen. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." But seek ye first God. Get in tension with that God of heaven and seek him first. Get in the middle of the flow of the Holy Ghost, what's going on in this church, and let God prove his godness in your life. Let him prove how much God he can be in your life. Friend, we don't have to work it all out. We just got to work it. We don't have to figure out all the problems. We just have to get out there and get on the wire and work in the tension. Because they'll know. Amen. They'll know. Pray. The world will know. Yes. Joseph, as a immature 17-year-old, blatted out a vision only to be prepared for that level. So when he was able to set his brothers free, there was a maturity to forgive. You better forgive your brother. Amen. You better love your brother. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying this, and it's not in my notes. But you better learn to forgive past and present. The devil will always bring it back up if you don't forgive. He will always, when you're in that new church and you're shouting, or you see that sister running around, "I don't know why I'm touching this. I do not know why, but I feel it." That sister that takes off around the church, that brother takes off around the church, and they owe you $20. And you see them running them new shoes. Because you know I'm telling the truth. Look, I got a philosophy. If I lend money to anybody, I'm giving them the money. Amen. I don't expect it in return. That's why I ain't got no problem saying, if I ain't got it, I ain't got it. And I ain't got it, don't worry. You better forgive. You better forgive. The reason many times we don't climb levels or dimensions in God is because we hold ourselves back. Yes. Let me prove it. Psalms 51, verse number 1. Can you throw that up there? Psalm 51, verse number 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." David had just committed an abominable act. He committed adultery and had a man murdered. By law, he was to be stoned and put to death. But notice the prophetic language he uses here. He begins to use New Testament verbiage. somehow God begins to anoint his mind. And he says, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Verse number 2, wash me. The priests were the only ones that washed. He was not a priest. He's using New Testament language. That's why we're baptized in Jesus' name. There's a washing that occurs. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse number 3, now watch. Verse number 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I'm going to tell you why we get stuck sometimes. Because our sin is ever before us. Ever before us. But no longer before God. Ever before us. The Bible says this, a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. Why 7 times? Some of us fell 7 times this morning. Why 7 times? 7 is a number of completion or perfection, elder. That number, when we will be perfect, is the day that God raptures us or we pass away from this earth and we're to be in the presence of the Lord. What he was saying is this, until you're perfect with me, you just get right back up. I'm giving you permission that if you fall, get right back up. You might fall again tonight, get right back up. Don't stay down. You just keep getting up until you're perfect. Don't let the devil keep you where you're at because of your past. But don't let you keep you there either. He said, my sins are ever before me. He said, I'm constantly seeing myself as I used to be. I'm seeing myself as that drug addict. I've been in church 30 years. 30 years. Be 30 years this year. Actually, this month. Well, this September, yeah. Coming up. 30 years. And do you realize that that devil still likes to bring to my memory things I did 30 years ago? He never, ever, ever ceases to accuse me before God. He never, ever will cease to accuse you before yourself. Notice he didn't say, my sin is ever before God. It was blotted out. It was forgiven. God in his mercy reached from grace forward to the law and gave him mercy. But it was his own conscience. It was his own memory. It was his own thoughts that kept him from excelling. He said, my sin is ever before me. What are you saying, Brother Glenn? I'm saying you're going into a new building that's going to require another dimension in the spirit, another dimension. God's going to require more of you. And if you're sitting there stuck in the yesterday of yesterdays, and you're sitting there grounding up in the guilt of yesterday, you better learn to forgive yourself. You better learn that when God casts something from the east to the west, who is infinite, without space, without time, when he casts it, he never, ever, ever sees it again. It is us. It is us that struggles. Because the devil understands if you ever get to that next dimension, or if you ever get to that next level, when you get into that next building, if you move into the building, but not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, and you begin to see the marvelous works of God and understand the vision of your pastor, if you ever begin to grasp that, there is nothing that will stop New Life. Birmingham will be called New Life. Birmingham will be called New Life on the spiritual map of heaven. God will begin to recognize the footprint, the handprint of a lady of God who gave herself forgiveness, who moved along, left her past and said, I'm a child of God. I'm going up. He'll forgive the young person. He'll see the footprints and the handprints of a young person that threw drugs and mistakes and fornication to the side. But friend, that is not, well, that's easier said than done. Have you ever seen a lobster molt before? Have you ever seen a crab molt before? Crabs have soft shells because what happens is this. After a certain period, they grow into that shell and it's hard. But what happens is this. They grow in it. And eventually what happens is if they don't get out of that shell or if they don't get out of that casing, they will die in it. And it's a pretty cool thing. Soft-shell crabs are not really soft-shell crabs. They're crabs that have molted out of the old one. And it's really cool to watch them do it. They'll sit there and you'll see the back end of that crab, that shell just pop open. And it's just kind of funny. They'll just begin to wiggle. It's an uncomfortable thing. It takes time. But I'm telling you, they have to grow out of it. And slowly but surely, they'll pull their claws out. Slowly but surely, you'll see fresh claws come out. And then that thing will grab itself and it'll begin to pull itself out from that big old hard shell. And it'll break free. And it'll be bigger when it came out of the shell than while it was in the shell. I'm telling you what I feel. There are some people that need to spiritually molt this evening. There are some people that just need to start backing out of that old person. Start saying, I'm tired of being this. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of just giving 10% of my time to the church. I'm tired of just being an SMO. Or I'm tired of just coming and just going through the You need to start molting spiritually. You need to start fighting your way out of that crab shell. You need to start backing yourself out, breaking free of that. Because I'm telling you, if you don't, you're going to be in your own prison. But if you do, oh, where's my box? Okay. There was a monkey study done recently by some monkeys. I thought it was ironic. Monkeys are smart. They're pretty cool to watch. They had two monkeys side by side. And they were giving monkeys cucumbers. They'd give them a rock, and they'd give the rock. The monkey would give it back in another hole and give the rock back. And when they did, the monkey would stick his hand out, and they'd give him a cucumber. I don't understand that as a treat, but they loved it. Somewhere in the middle of the study, the monkey to the left started getting grapes. Now, if he'd have got cheesecake, we'd have busted the cage down, but grapes? And the monkeys, the monkey in the other cage saw he was getting grapes and he's getting cucumbers. So he did his little routine. He stuck his hand out. They put a rock out. He grabbed the rock. He went through. He handed it back. Gave it to them. Stuck his hand out looking for his reward, and they gave him a cucumber. He put it in. He went, uh-uh. He took it and he threw it back at him. He said, let me try this again. Stuck his hand out, they gave him a rock. He took the rock, passed it through to the other hand, put it out the other hole. Stuck the hand out, they gave him a cucumber. He took that thing, he didn't even go to his mouth this time. He just went wham and chunked it back at him. He said, I'm going to tell you something. If there's more out there for me than cucumbers, I'm not going to be satisfied with a cucumber. Friend, I'm telling you, God has got blessings and plans for this church. But if you're just satisfied eating cucumbers, I'm telling you, you're not going to do anything but eat cucumbers. But oh, there's so, that's why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. He's better than cucumbers. He's better than cake. He's better than cheese. Luke chapter 7. All right. Don't drop me. All right. Give me a second. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love you with the love of the Lord. All right, gentlemen. That was too fast. Do it. Get me up. Come on, pick me up. Somebody help these guys. There we go. Give me some Spanish guys up here. They'll have me up, one of you. I speak the truth in the Lord and in love. Thank you, gentlemen. I weigh a little more now. I know I'm skinny. Amen. Preacher in a box. Luke chapter 7. Somebody get it for me. Brother Collins, can you get it for me? Luke 7. Get my Bible. Somebody get my Bible. Luke 7, begin reading verse 11. Is it verse 11? That's where I started tonight. Yeah, verse 11. Read for me. 7:11. Yeah, get a microphone. Amen. Tell your friend it's good to be in church.
And tell it came to pass.
And it came to pass, yeah.
That he went into a city called Nain.
Yeah.
And many of his disciples went with him, and much people.
Yeah.
Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out.
Yeah, they were carrying a dead man. Let me say something. It takes six live people to carry one dead person. You ain't got time for that in the new building.
All right.
God's calling all hands on deck. Don't make me preach from this box. God's telling everybody, you better get on. We need lively stones. Come on, we need everybody. I feel the Holy Ghost and I'm stuck in this box. I'm about to cut up. I'm telling you now, God needs every single one of you. Black, white, red, Spanish, Puerto Rican, Filipino, English speaking. He needs everybody involved.
Yes, sir. I'm almost done, believe it or not. And the church said amen. I didn't really mean it like that, but read, my friend.
There was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother.
Yeah.
And she was a widow.
Uh-huh.
And much people of the city was with her.
Yeah, professional mourners. That's what they were. Listen, when you're down and out, there's always somebody there to have a pity party with you. Notice Jesus and his apostles weren't in there. They showed up to change the situation. Read, my friend.
And when the Lord saw her,
and
he had compassion on her.
That's the Lord.
And said unto her, weep not.
Weep not.
And he came and touched the bier.
And he touched the bier. Now stop.
And they that bare him stood still.
Just a moment. Now he touched the box. The box wasn't dead. The box wasn't dead. The boy in the box was dead. It was the person in the box that was dead. Jesus was just saying to her, I understand what's going on. Sometimes Jesus, you'll come into church and you'll get a word. It's God's way of saying, I understand what's going on. I understand where you're at. He touched the box. Read.
And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise.
Arise. Then he spoke. Read.
And he that was dead sat up and began to speak.
And began to speak.
And he delivered him to his mother.
And he delivered him to his mother. Now, I got about 5 minutes left in this thing if the Lord will give me 5 minutes of health. He said, get up and get out of the box.
Yeah.
Jesus can do all the great moves he wants, but unless we get out of our boxes. Let me tell you what this is. Let me tell you what this is. This is, I can't do it because I'm not good enough for this. Right. Hey, God never works from weakness, guys. Yes. God never works from a position of weakness. If God asks you to do something, he's asking you because he's strengthening you. He's giving you the ability. God is not a weak God. Trust me, when he asks you to do something, he's got a plan in mind. So, he says, get up. In this next building, in this next season, in this next level, what would happen, Elder, if Bible studies just broke out? I know that'd make you happy. Let it happen in Jesus' name, and I believe it will. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. What would happen if during the day, we went through a season in Durham where they were calling me at all hours, 9 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 o'clock in the morning. Pastor, we got somebody that needs to be baptized. We've got somebody, we taught them a Bible study. Don't you tell me, get out of your box. Don't say, well, that's for Durham. Get out of your box. Don't say that's for Africa. Get out of your box. Because I know what's happening right now. The enemy of the soul right now is saying, oh, here we go. He's going to try to hook, line, and sinker us to do more for the Lord. You're right. You're exactly right. And I'm telling you the things that some of you, God wants to just, there are people, I know there's always in every church, there is a group that's actively involved. But I'm talking to the people that ain't actively involved. Now, don't look at me like I'm crazy. I'm getting on my flight tomorrow. Don't worry, I ain't gonna miss it. I got two boys waiting to see me, and they've been fighting since I've been gone, so I'm ready to get home. I have to referee more than love on them. I'm speaking to the rest of New Life that is just content to just come and be soaking it up and being blessed and use every excuse in the book that you can't and that this and that, whatever. That was a big thing when I was young. Whatever. It's so funny how we do whatever with God. It doesn't matter if you've had the Holy Ghost 1 minute or 100 years. God wants to use you. It doesn't matter where you're at. The difference is not God's ability or desire to use you. The difference is the box you're in. It's the box holding you back.
I've seen too many people with the potential to be blessed and be used of God, but they've let their past hold them back. They've let fears hold them back. Jesus walked up to the box. Jesus walked up to the box. He walked up to the box and he touched the box. He said, I see your excuse. He's dead. I see your excuse. I see that. And then he spoke to the boy. Now let me tell you something. God can reveal, he can break every chain in this place in your mind and in your spirit, and you can still walk out of here in a box. You can still walk out of here the same old person, because I'm going to tell you what, it takes guts to get out of a box. Now I'm just going to appeal to your good old flesh. It takes guts to be a child of God. It takes guts to be a soul winner. Anybody, listen, there's plenty of sinners in this world. It takes guts to win souls. It takes guts to do what nobody else will do. It takes guts, but it takes more than guts. I told the Spanish this. I told them this today. I said, you guys have no excuse not to have a move of God. None. Zero. Zilch. Oh, that's pretty honest. You're right. Everyone in that room that was a native-speaking Spanish speaker speaks better than me and the Weta. Weta is white person in Spanish, but that's a love name that I gave my wife. Huerita, mi huerita bonita. My beautiful white girl is what I call her. So when I call her Weta, I'm not being derogatory. She knows Weta is her name. Stand up, babe. Stand up. Come here. She hates this. She's going to kill me. She's going to kill me. She's going to close the box and send me to somewhere. Come here. Come here, baby. This is the love of my life. This is my partner in crime. But I'm not lying to you. And I may have said this last year, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when God called us to begin to work Spanish, I didn't speak it, and she couldn't even say the menu at Taco Bell. I ain't lying. We went to Taco Bell. We didn't go to Taco Bell because we was afraid we was going to speak Spanish. We literally would not go to Mexican restaurants in town. We would not. Because I didn't want them to talk to me in Spanish and me act like, And God said, I'm tired of you in your box. I'm tired of you making excuses for why you can't people go into hell, and all you worried about is you. What people think of you. And somehow, I'm not going to get into it, but my wife had a medical issue. I think I may have mentioned this. She had a medical issue when she was 15 that zapped her short-term memory, her long-term memory. It's like zzzzzzzzz. I mean, you think she's all there, but there's just skipping and jumping around up in there. She knows. I'm not embarrassing her. It's the truth. She'll tell you it's the truth. My wife is the most unbelievable person in the world, but she's got the memory of this box. And what happened was this. She'd walk into one room and forget that why she was there. But somehow God put, when we said, God, we're going to get out of our box. When we get out of our box, God did something to this young lady's mind. And she's young, don't. She's young still. God did something to her mind. I'm not joking to you. She just graduated summa cum laude. That is Latin. That is Latin for the top of the class 4.0. You know what she graduated 4.0 summa cum laude in? This is the little white girl from the hills of Tennessee that couldn't say the Taco Bell menu. She is a certified interpreter, Spanish to English, grammar, speaking, conversation. I'm telling you, when you stop making excuses for the box, God will anoint you. You'll never reach your potential as long as you let the box hold you in. And I'm telling you, there are people in this room today, you've been boxed in long enough, but God's calling you out of your box today. He's come and he's touched your box and I said, I've seen that box. That's real nice. It's been your home for a little while, but now it's time for you to get out of your box. He's speaking right now through the word of the Lord, through a spirit of prophecy right now, that if you'll just let go of the box, if you'll open yourself up and say, God, I'm terrified. He understands that. God, I can't do it. He understands that, but it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. By my spirit, by my spirit. Now, I didn't plan on doing this, but I feel led to do it, Elder, with your permission. There are people in here that have been battling fear. You feel inadequate. You feel inadequate in the Holy Ghost. You feel like you've tried in the past. You've tried to do something for the Lord, but it just, maybe you got embarrassed. Maybe it didn't work out. It didn't work out the way you wanted, so you've just kind of gone back down into my box and said, you know, I'll just come to church. It wasn't that you were trying to disconnect yourself. You just were hurt by it. You were hurt by it. It scared you. And now the devil keeps you in a box and he says, come out of that box and I'm going to show you something. Well, I'm here to tell you something. God wants to show you something tonight. If you'll come out of that box, God wants to show you something tonight. I'm trying to figure out the way I want to do this. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't. I want you to close your eyes right now. Everyone in this place, I want us to pray right now. I want us to pray right now. If you know God's been wanting you to do more, but you just have not taken that step, fear maybe, worry maybe, fear of failure's gotten a hold of you. You don't feel good enough. You don't feel adequate enough. You feel like you're going to make a fool of yourself. I want you to lift your hand right now in the house, right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. I want you to lift your house. That sister right back there, right there, to my left. Right there, she's got her hand. You're wiping your tears away with your glasses right there, and you're in the choir robe right now. Right there, tell her to come here in Jesus' name. Come here, sister. I'm going to tell you something. Hallelujah. I want you to come here right now. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm going to tell you something. God's telling you, get out of your box. Come here. Come here. I want you to come right now in boldness in the Holy Ghost. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here right here. I want you to take this knife and I want you to cut down. It might take a little bit doing. I want you to cut right down that seam. Go. Go. Get out of your box. Come on. Just cut it. Just keep going. Just keep cutting. Keep go all the way to the floor. Keep cutting. Come on. Keep cutting. Don't stop until you get to the floor. Come on. Close your eyes and pray for it. I'm trying to follow the Holy Ghost right now. Stay right here, sister. You stay right here in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Right now. Come on. I want you to lift your hands right now. I'm trying to follow the Holy Ghost. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Stephen, I want you to find me a young person right now. I want you to find me a young person that you feel like God's got their hand on their life. I want you to bring them up here right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus, right now, come on. Hallelujah, doesn't mean they're a preacher. You just feel like God's wants to use them. Hallelujah, they got influence. Come here, young man, come here, hurry. Hallelujah, come over here to this side. I want you to begin cutting the box. God's trying to let some people out of your boxes tonight. You need to take some real steps. Come on, hallelujah, come on, hallelujah. Keep going, just keep going, come on. Cut it, come on, church, I want us to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, keep cutting. Come on, come on. Jesus is trying to tell you, I see your excuses, but I want you to be alive, new life. I'm telling you, come on, hallelujah, right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, hallelujah, come on. There's an awareness in the Holy Ghost. Ben hermano, come here. Hallelujah, Ben. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a Spanish movement here. There is a Spanish ministry here. I want you to cut the box. Come on, come on, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Sutton, I want you to come here. Pastor Sutton, come here. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Sigue cortando hasta que llegues al piso. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God, right now, in the name of the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. I see. Pastor Sutton, I want you to cut this last corner. I want you to cut this last corner because new life is about to go to another dimension. Hallelujah. And you need to get behind your man of God. Hallelujah. You need to get behind your man of God. It's time to get out of this thing, guys. Come on. It's time to break the walls down. Come on, Pastor Sutton. That's it. Cut it in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Keep praying. Come on. Now, maybe I didn't call your name, and maybe the Holy Ghost didn't point you out in that second, but I want to do something. These are your boxes. There's fear. There's lack of inability to forgive yourself. There's a devil telling you you can't. There's this feeling that you're not worthy. Each one of these represent a box. You need to go to one of these quickly, and you begin to need to just step on it. You need to begin to say, hey, I'm not going to be bound up by this any longer. Just for a few moments, I'm going to step out of my box. For a few moments, I'm going to worship on it. I'm going to tell the devil I'm going to that next level. Come on. Come on, there are people lining up. Come on, find your spot. Come on. Come on. You need to say, I'm not going to be bound up. When I go into that building, I'm going to be free of this box. When I go into that new building, I'm going to be used by God. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to be bound up by fear anymore. I'm not going to be bound up by the feeling that I'm not worthy, that I'm not going to be bound up by my past anymore. Come on, I need musicians. Come on, I need musicians. Come on, you need to come and stomp on that box. You need to come and stomp on it. Come on. You need to stomp on that box. The devil's telling you you can't. You tell him I can. He said, stand up, rise. Rise, rise, rise. You're going to have to rise up. You're going to have to rise up on it and say, I ain't going to be bound up. This school year, I'm going to win some people to the Lord. This school year, I'm going to go into that school. I'm going to win somebody in the name of Jesus. I ain't going to be afraid. I'm not going to be bound up by my past. I'm not going to be bound up by the lies of hell. Need to connect with what the Holy Ghost is doing right now. I want you to lift your hands right now. Come on. You need to stop worrying about what people think about you, and you need to start worrying about what God thinks about you. He's the one you want to hear say, well done. See, feel that? That's shifting right there. Come on, you feel that? That's shifting right there. Come on, you need to let it happen. Come on, some of you need to take a step up onto the box. Some of you need to come and stomp on your box. Some of you need to step up and say, I'm not going to be bound by the box. In the name of Jesus. New stuff, new life, friend. You're about to get new stuff. You're about to see new things happen. Come on. Come on. Oh. Ah, yeah.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win.
Friend, you're about to see
it. No matter what the weapon is, I'm
go. some of you got it. I'm waiting for the rest of you. Come on, I'm waiting for the rest of you. God needs all hands on deck. God needs everybody to step up. Come on, this is an everybody church. This ain't for 5 or 6, 10, 20. This is an everybody, everybody. Everybody's called to minister. Everybody's called to do something.
We win with God.
sick.